seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to Jeremiah chapter 31 and the 12th verse. The prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 12. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. The prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 12. You will remember we looked a little this morning as helped at this first part of this sacred word. And oh, may it be our fervent prayer that the Lord would fulfill this in this dark and solemn day in which we live. Because remember when he spoke this through the prophet to the dear people, they had been through some very dark and bitter scenes. But now he says, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion. And in conclusion, we looked a little at this next clause, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. And I want us help this afternoon to pursue this a little, because how vital it is there might be this real flowing together, heart to heart, and that our conversation may flow together, as we looked at in conclusion this morning with the two that journeyed to Emmaus. So they could say, couldn't they, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? You see, when there's a real flowing together, it speaks of oneness of heart. And you know, on that Emmaus road, they were of one heart, weren't they? Did not our heart, they said, burn within us, while he talked with us by the way. But there are some other precious characters in the Word of God I would just briefly name that flowed together. And that is one reason we read that chapter concerning David and Jonathan, of how they flowed together in the things naturally, and especially concerning their souls. We read, don't we, concerning them, and then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as he his own soul. There was this oneness in the vital things of God. And as we read in that 20th chapter, how Saul, who was at enmity and hatred against David, was so great, and yet between Jonathan and David there was this sweet flowing together. They had a love, we read, don't we, in the Word, that surpassed the love of women. It was God-given love, one to another. And there were times they reproved each other, but there were times they graciously encouraged each other, and it was all done in love. We read, don't we? We do all things in vain, except we do all things in love, and how they flowed together. We think back, the late Mr. Simmons that was at Skeins Hill, and the times I had of sweet flowing together with him in the vital things of God. And I remember one of his old members said to me, you know, you were just like David and Jonathan. And that is sweet when that is so, you see. When each can feel his brother's sigh and with him bear a part, when sorrow flows from eye to eye and joy from heart to heart. And may it be so, you know, age will make no difference in this. I think of the times when I was exercised about joining the church, and my late dear grandfather was as well, and I was only 18 and he was 82, and the times we had of sweet flowing together, rehearsing to each other what the Lord had done and what he'd spoken to us, and our hearts flowed together, and yet he was that great age above me. But when it came to the vital things of God, his desires were my desires, his longings my longings, and all we wanted to do was exhort a precious Saviour. And so it was with David and Jonathan. You see, they had a real love to the Lord. He was the one thing needful to them both. And all they wanted to do was help each other in the road. we read, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. And then we think too of Paul the Apostle and Timothy. How they flowed together in the vital things of God. Saul was a master, you know, in the vital things of God, and Timothy rather learned the scriptures from his youth, and yet when it came to the flowing together, they could walk together, and oh, how they enjoyed the sweet presence of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus, with them. And then, of course, you can look at the case of Ruth and Naomi. I did hint at it this morning in another aspect, but you look at the sweet flowing together there was between them. They were of one mind, of one heart, of one accord. And you know, if there's to be real prosperity in Zion, that's what it will be. It's a solemn thing if we try and mar it. You go to the day of Pentecost, and what do we read? When all those different nations were gathered together, on that day we read that they were of one accord in one place, and they were of one mind. And what was the desire? To be determined not to know anything among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And you know, when we're one mind, that'll be our soul's desire. We won't want to hear anything else, only what the Lord has done, and here be the one thing needful. But you think of dear Ruth and Naomi. Ruth and Orpah couldn't walk together, could they? They didn't flow together. Orpah wanted the gods of Moab, the things of Moab. But dear Ruth wanted the Lord God of Israel as her God, her Saviour, her Redeemer. And she could flow together with Naomi because that was Naomi's desire. May we know each of us more and more of this. Flowing together. And then bring it home to our worship. You know, it's sweet when there's a flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. Many of you will know that I so often pray that that may be so. It's sweet when there's that oneness, you see. The word preached or the word read flowing into the hearts of them that hear the word. And too, with the knitting together of the hymns. They flow together, you know. There's some beautiful hymns in our hymn book that absolutely flow with the word of God. And when we find them knitting together between the subject and the ministry and then the hymns that are given out, and may we know more and more of it. But then we think of that word in the minor prophets in Zechariah, is it not, where we read, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another." I was talking to the dear pastor at Blackwood the other day, and we were saying we don't hear very much nowadays of the conversation being about what has been preached after the service, or the conversation of what has been spoken by the Lord's servants, or his the reading. And I think of that, and I said to him about that word, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another." They flowed together. I remember reading in one of the old gleaners of the days when there wasn't washing machines to do the washing for the ladies like there is today, and there wasn't mains water. They used to go down to the springs, and there was a wash house down there. And these godly women, they used to go on a Monday morning, and they met up there to do their washing. And their whole conversation was what they'd heard on the Lord's Day, or what had been read on the Lord's Day, and to what they'd sung on the Lord's Day from the sacred hymns. And there was that sweet flowing together, and it was all to the goodness of the Lord. It says in our text, doesn't it? "And shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord." Now you think of all these dear people who have returned from bondage and captivity here. They got something to speak about, haven't they? How the Lord had been with them in the bondage. How he'd favoured them. They could look back over those years and they could tell it to sinners round, couldn't they? To each other. And they flowed together. And this word has been very sweet to me since the text dropped in. "Therefore they shall come and shall sing in the height of Zion and shall flow together." And may we not do anything to mar that flowing together to the goodness of the Lord. For his honour, for his glory. They didn't speak it because of, for their own benefit or to lift themselves up with pride. It was all for the Lord's goodness, what he had done, and they could praise and bless his holy name and give him all the glory, all the praise. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we feel our inmost heart going out to the Lord in praise for all that he has done for us, and bless and praise his holy name. You go into Psalm 103, where the dear psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And then he goes further, doesn't he, and speaks of how he needed to bless the Lord for all that he had done for him, forgiving his sins, undertaking for him. I want to go further as help. What did they flow together in? Well, we read here, for wheat. And, you know, there's, and may the Holy Spirit help me, but there's some precious truth in this, you know. They flowed together in for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. Let's take each as where they come in the text, for wheat. And what does that illustrate? Well, it illustrates a few things. First of all, it's speaking of the dear Lord Jesus. And what I mean is this, and may I speak it with much reverence. You know, we sit at the Lord's table, we partake of the bread which illustrates the broken body of the dear Lord Jesus. And bread, for the most part, is made from wheat. And you know, really, these dear souls, as they flowed together and as they returned, their hearts were taken up upon the sufferings of their dear Redeemer. He is the bread of life to sinners. He says, and except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, there is no life in you. And when we think of that bread, it speaks not only of the dear Lord Jesus, his sufferings, his agonies, his death, but it speaks of the pure word of God, the wheat. No, a real hungry child of God won't be able to live on the chaff. The chaff being the world, its pleasures and everything that entertains the natural mind. The soul of the child of God wants pure wheat, the pure word of God. What did Jeremiah say? Thy words were found and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. What did Moses say? Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And they flowed together, you see, for wheat. Thinking of the precious Saviour and what he endured, being the bread of life to sinners. And you see, bread is to be partaken, to be eaten, isn't it? To partake of it. And are we partakers of his sufferings, his death? Are we led by the Holy Spirit to feed upon him? And feed upon what he endured for our souls. And feed upon his word. It's wheat to hungry souls. Oh, it is. And oh, may there be more and more this flowing together for wheat. Oh, sweet meditation. What did the psalmist say? My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. I shall never forget preaching from that at Ashwell once, and dear Mr. Woodhouse was there as a hearer. I shall never forget it, you know, as I preached, meditating upon him, the tears ran down the dear man's face. He said to me, you know, he's brought me this afternoon into the banqueting house. And his banner over me has been love. A real feeding time, you see, upon the dear Redeemer. May we have more and more real feeding time. There's a lot of substance in wheat naturally, but far greater so spiritually. A feeding upon the dear Redeemer. The world don't understand that at all, nor does the natural man in religion. But the real child of God knows what it is to be a partaker. And they feed upon him. So he says, for wheat and for wine. There again, we need much reverence to name this. You see, at the sacred ordinance of the Lord's Supper, what does the wine set forth? The shedding of his precious blood. And this is what they were to flow together in. They needed that precious blood, you see. And why did they need it? Because they were black, vile sinners. And they needed the Lord to shed that precious blood to wash away all their stains and all their sins. Not just the sins, but the stains of them. And they flowed together for wheat and for wine. That precious blood, you see, meant so much to them. There was their safety. There was their salvation. There was all the goodness they needed for their souls. And oh, do we not need that precious blood today? What did he say, the Lord, to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt and the destroying angel was going to go forth? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. They were sheltering under it, wouldn't they? I love that couplet of the hymn where the dear hymn writer said, sheltering in his wounded side till all the dangers are overpast. Where are you sheltering? Are you sheltering under the blood? They had to hear, you know. But then there's another aspect to it. The blessed wine of the gospel. Oh, there is. The sinner can drink it in, can't they? You know, it's a wonderful thing. I look back and think of some of the old saints in their early days. They used to sit there as the old servants of God preached, and you could tell they were drinking it in. And it did their souls good, you see. Oh, it did. The wine of the gospel. What do we read in, I don't know, it seemed to be with me, so I'll name it. What do we read in John 21? Come and dine. And oh, that's a wonderful word, you know. I remember the late pastor at Lamberhurst, Jabez Field, and his wife, when they were so exercised about casting in their lot with the church. You know, they felt to need the Lord to speak a word through his servants. And the late Mr. Barker, that was pastor at Bexley, came that Lord's Day afternoon. And he preached from those words, come and dine. And that's what they had to do, you know. To dine with their dear Redeemer. To feed upon him what he had provided for them. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? Come and dine. They shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil. The blessed work of the Holy Spirit, one sacred aspect of this is this. The oil, you see, oil is a wonderful thing really. It penetrates, doesn't it? It doesn't maybe spill a little on the ground or on something. It spreads and it penetrates into things. And you think of the Holy Spirit's blessed work as he pours in the oil of grace. It penetrates into the sinner's heart. He pours in the oil of the blessed gospel and it fills their souls. It penetrates. And it has a softening effect, doesn't it, oil? Oh, it does. You can get some rusty thing, an implement that's gone rusty. You put a little oil on it and move it a little. How soon that becomes so it can work. And do we not need the oil poured into our hearts? We think of that beautiful word in Isaiah. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give unto them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord's right hand planting. And when the Holy Spirit takes the word, you see, he will pour that word into the sinner's heart. And it'll be life and power to them. It may be a sweet promise, it may be a word of encouragement, it may even be a word of reproof. We need reproving continually, don't we? We're poor sinners. He will reprove his dear people, but he'll pour in this oil. And then, of course, there is another aspect, which I hadn't even thought of, but it comes, and it's this, you know, when David was told that he should be king over all Israel, the Lord anointed him, Samuel anointed him while in his early days for that office. The divine anointing. And what did Samuel do? He poured in the oil, didn't he? Oh, he did. He poured in the oil on David's head. It was a divine anointing. And you know, really, and it's wonderful, the Lord anoints his dear children for like officers in the church. He anoints them. And the anointing is the oil being poured in. This is what this sinner's got to do, or this one has got to do. It may be in following the Lord. They receive the anointing to follow him. God's anointing. And then there are those that are anointed for the ministry. Oh, they are. Anointed for that work. The oil poured in, you see. And then they can pour out to the people. And you know, every time really a God-sent servant goes in the pulpit, he needs the oil poured in that he might pour out. And where that oil is poured in, it will have, as I have said earlier, that penetrating effect. It'll enter. The Holy Spirit will use it. For wheat. And for wine and for oil. Well, there's many other aspects in both these three, all three of these, which we could bring before you, but I'll go further. And for the young of the flock and of the herd. There's no doubt there were those that were young down in bondage that they'd been in, and they were to be brought out, and this flowing together was not just between aged saints It was like I said earlier, age made no difference. The young of the flock. And this flowing together to the goodness of the Lord was for them as well. Not just the age, not just the herd. And sometimes the young of the flock need special treatment. What I mean is this. I know a little about sheep, and you know, often we used to put creep feeders, they were called, out into the field where there was these ewes and little lambs. And you know, those creep feeders were for lambs to creep in. They could get in, but the ewes couldn't, and feed a little. And there was vital proteins and vitamins and nourishment in those creep feeders for the lambs, you see. They needed that special food to encourage growth and to help them on in the journey of life. And think about it here, you see, he says, for the young of the flock, don't leave them out, and the of the herd. And this flowing together was to be one with the other, you know. And it's sweet when there's often a little child can be used of God to be the messenger in a message from heaven. I told you before that the dear lady that I baptised at Lakenheath in 1975 was bitterly tempted before her baptism by the devil, that she was a wrong character and it took all her strength and everything, and the day she was to be baptised, she couldn't even get up at all from her bed. She was so weak and couldn't eat, and the devil was just making havoc. And her little son, he went into her when he returned from Sunday school that particular Sunday afternoon, and he went into the bedroom and he said, "Mummy, aren't you going to get up tonight because you're going to be baptized?" She said, "Oh, I can't." And the little boy looked straight in her eyes. And he said to her this, "Mama, you've listened to the devil long enough." And the Lord used it. From that moment she got up. And I knew nothing about it at all until after the service. But I preach, here is water. What doth hinder thee to be baptized? And I'm tired as hell to go through all those hindrances. And how the devil tries to hinder his people. But you see, sometimes a little child will lead them. And we read here, to flow and flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And this is what this flowing together was for all of them, you see, that had returned. Let us remember, they weren't just any person. They were God's children. He had redeemed them. He had ransomed them. He'd paid the great price for their salvation. And it was he that had worked and manifested his goodness to them. Now just a brief word on this goodness. You know, there's some wonderful words in the Word of God of promise, of goodness to the Lord's dear people. What did the Lord say to Moses? "I will make," and don't forget it, child of God, "all my goodness to pass before thee in the way." And if the Lord tells you that, poor soul, he will fulfill it in every jot and tittle. Oh, he will. He did for Moses. And he saw the goodness of the Lord in providence, providing for him, and so will you. He saw the goodness in the vital things of God, which in his soul, that goodness was to pass before him. The goodness of the Lord. His goodness runs an endless round, the hymn writer said. And then we think of that beautiful word, what David said in Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Therefore they shall come and shall sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul, what a wonderful word, and their soul shall be as a watered garden. Through the summer, it's been ever so dry, hasn't it? Everything sort of seemed dried up. But you know, just one refreshing shower. Look at the change there was. In a moment almost, everything begins to revive. A watered garden, refreshed, benefited by the showers. We are told in the Word of God, showers of blessing. A watered garden. And you know, everything will revive when your soul is as a watered garden, poor soul. It may have been the Lord spoke years ago to you, and you say, if only I could have the sweetness and the blessing that I had then. You know, when he smiles and when he sends that heavenly blessing of rain into your soul, it'll revive even that may have been 50 years ago was spoken. And he'll come back with the same power and reality that it was then. As a watered garden. Refreshed, you see. I had some dahlias in my garden this summer, and all during that heat, hardly any of the buds grew at all. And I took them to several experts why they weren't growing, and I'd watered them. But you know, they came to the conclusion it was because of the intense heat and they couldn't stand it. As soon as we had the first rain, there they were growing. And just on one plant, there were 21 blooms. And oh, to me it spoke volumes, you see. A watered garden will refresh and revive and be attractive. And think, and I don't want that just to be natural, think about it spiritually. When our souls are like a watered garden, we can speak well of the dear Redeemer. We can declare his goodness. We can crown him Lord of all. Their soul was a watered garden, so different than they'd been down in bondage, wasn't it? They were full of the presence of the Lord, under his divine blessing. And then this final promise, and of course this will be known when the Lord frees us from this earth. And they shall not sorrow any more at all. And then there are times when the Lord will give you sweet tastes of that here in this earth. And you'll feel we can't sorrow any more at all because he's done such great things for us. But, you know, we cannot live in that. You know, the flesh will never be able to stand it. The fullness of this will be in heaven. and I shall not sorrow any more at all. And you know, really, when he brought them out of that bondage, they couldn't sorrow any more of all that bondage they'd been in. They rejoiced in their deliverance and crowned him Lord of all. Well, I've scratched around the surface. May the Holy Spirit apply the text, if nothing I've rambled around today, and may we know the sacred realities there are in it for our own souls. And when we do, we have to say, Lord, why me? Why me? Why such a wretch as I, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? You'll just be amazed at the wonder of it. And they were here. Well, may the Lord add his blessing. Amen.